everybody. We are GFBS. We're Grand Forks Best Source. Joining us on the show today, David Waterman is back from the Midwest Public Health Coalition. We'll be taking calls and stuff. We'll tell you about that in just a couple of minutes. Your show today, by the way, brought to you by Raptor PCS in the Grand Cities Mall, the best place to take your computer. With a full range of computer services, very affordable rates, they do it all. Computer builds, virus removal, hardware repairs. Maybe you're looking for a new laptop, stop into Raptor PCS. If they're going to work on your computer, most cases you'll have it back the following day. They'll even come and pick your computer up if you don't want to leave, or just stop at the landing zone in front of Rumors. Winners of the top rated local businesses in the last couple of years. You know what? Bring your computer in and mention this ad. Brock and the guys will give you 15% off any computer service. The deals just get better. We go there all the time. I told you it's the best place to take your computer. Check them out at raptorpcs.com or call 701-772-7626. Raptor PCS, they are right here in the Grand Cities Mall. Well, if you have any questions or comments for David Waterman or ourselves here, call us up at the studio or text us. Our phone number is 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. And before we get going, it is time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Did you know that 14 muscles are activated when you open a bottle of wine? That's right. You activate 14 muscles when you open a bottle of wine. Yup. Fitness is my passion. Katie, what'd you think of that one?
Not my passion yet. Maybe in like 10 years. Maybe 5. 10
years?
We'll see.
How old
we'll
are you see. Now?
How old do you think I am?
Oh, yeah. You got till like November, right?
Yeah, I still got a ways away.
All right. We'll help you open that first bottle. How's
Thanks,
that sound?
Guys.
Okay. David Waterman is back in the studio. David, how are you, man?
I'm ready to stop driving out to Bismarck.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that in a minute here.
Okay,
by the way, we're going to do our best. You were on here a week ago today.
Yes.
And we have been banned from YouTube ever since.
Ah, how about that?
How do you got to just love that censorship stuff, huh?
You know, I think that that's at this point today, that's a badge of honor. Being banned off of YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those folks, I'll tell you what, they're, look, what are they? Are they communists? Are they fascists? Are they just Marxists? Or are they just intolerant?
You know, I don't know, but right now I'm looking, and this is what the list looks like. There's one page.
Of what you cannot say?
Of what we cannot say.
Cannot say this on YouTube.
Yeah, and almost all of this is COVID-related. Or vaccine related. In fact, it all is. And there must be, I bet you, 50 different things that supposedly we cannot say. And we probably talked about 48 of them last week.
Well, John, let me explain that to you. The reason for that is because YouTube is there to protect us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're there to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
They can't allow anything that doesn't fit the narrative of this administration or the Faucis of the world.
Yeah.
We can't challenge them.
Right, right.
Even though Dr. Fauci has lied repeatedly,
mm-hmm.
and even admitted lying, we can't talk about that.
Right, right.
That's forbidden.
Yep.
That's verboten. That's verboten.
The good old U.S. of A. and free speech, no longer. Anyway, you have been in Bismarck.
Yes, sir.
Big things going on in Bismarck. First off, tell us how your last few days went out there, because you did a lot of things.
You know, in some senses, it was encouraging. The last visit was very encouraging. The first ones, not so much. I had the opportunity to speak to the Republican caucus on the Senate caucus for the Republicans on the Senate side, which is the majority of the senators there. And I spoke briefly about the foolishness of wearing masks. I mean, we want to get away from masks, but let's face it. There's a bill in front of the Senate that they will be voting on today,
mm-hmm.
HB 1323. And I was there to talk with them about that. Also, Dr. Jean Gullix was there, and she spoke with them as well, gave her observations as a medical practitioner and a healthcare mental health care expert. She's been dealing in health. She's got a PhD in child development and health, mental health care. Been working since the last 35 years in that field with children ages two to adult.
Mm-hmm.
So she did a fabulous job.
And if anybody wants to see or hear what she had to say, we actually had a show on it 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, oh, that's right. A couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Look for the one with Dr. Gene Gulick's on GFPS.
Yeah. And if you're not familiar with Bill 1323, though, this is relating to limitations on mask wearing requirements. So,
yes. In fact, it's a short bill. It's being attacked by a whole bunch of people, including the North Dakota Chamber of Commerce. Here's how it works. There's a before the Senate or the House votes on a bill, they have a committee, right? They break into committees, and different representatives or senators are on the committee because there are just too many bills for everyone to read everything.
Right? Sure.
So they'll break up into a group. Like, say, we can make a committee here. Usually they're, 7 to 14, 15 people. And the committee will look at the bill, and then they'll hear testimony for and against the bill. And then they'll discuss among themselves whether they want to recommend to pass the bill or to not pass the bill. So they'll issue each one gets a vote, do pass or do not pass. And so it's important to go before the committees if there's a bill that's important to you that you know something about and testify to them why they should or should not pass it. So unfortunately, the people that are in favor of the bill speak first, and then the people that are opposed to it speak next.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually allow for people who have something to say that are not necessarily for or against the bill, but they have information that might be helpful to the senators or the representatives who are making the decision to recommend or not or recommend against the bill. So we went, Dr. Gulick's spoke. She spoke as a neutral party, and they gave her 15 minutes to speak. And after she'd been speaking for 5 minutes, by the time she'd spoken for just 5 minutes, she was interrupted twice. After the second interruption, where somebody asked her some inane question, I don't even know what it was. I think the question was, how do you spell your name? I'm not kidding. In the middle of her testimony, one of these senators said, how do you spell your name? And then she answered, and then the chairman of the committee said, so, does anybody else have a question for Dr. Gulick's?
And that was it. After
okay, thank you so much, Dr. Gulick's, for coming in to see us.
So she got like 5 minutes of her allotted 15.
Exactly. That's right. In fact, she had just gotten started. She basically laid the groundwork for what she was going to say to them and didn't have a chance to say to them because they cut her off.
Wow. Now, for the people that don't know, David, Bill 1323, if it passes, if it fails, what does that mean for people like us?
Can I just do this, John? It's such a short bill. I can just read it. I've got it in front of me. Here it is, House Bill 1323. That's it. That's introduced by Representative Jeff Hoverson.
Can I ask you, how do you spell 1323? No, go ahead.
All right, thanks for coming.
That's a good one.
There.
Getting a little deja vu here. That's great. Here it is. A bill for an act to create and enact a new section to Chapter 2307 of the North Dakota Century Code relating to limitations on mask wearing requirements. So 2307 is the health section of the North Dakota Century Code. This is how it reads. Be it enacted by the Legislative Assembly of North Dakota, Section 1. A new section to Chapter 2307 of the North Dakota Century Code is created and enacted as follows. Limitations on requirements to wear a mask. 1. A state or local elected official, the state, or a political subdivision of the state may not mandate an individual in this state to use a face mask, face shield, or other face covering. That's part 1 of 4. 2. Subsection 1 prohibits the use of a face mask, shield, or covering, a condition for entry, education, employment, or services. 3. Subsection 1 applies notwithstanding authority granted under other provisions of the law, including Section 2301-05, Section 23-07-06, and Chapter 37-17.1. Point 4. If a state or local elected official, the state, or a political subdivision of the state recommends an individual in this state use a face mask, shield, or covering, the official or entity shall provide notice the recommendation is not mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's it.
Yep.
That's the whole bill.
That's it.
The whole bill.
Can right you there. Read number two again for me?
Subsection 1 prohibits the making the use of a face mask, shield, or covering a condition for entry, education, employment,
bingo,
or services.
Wait, education. So kids don't have to wear masks in school.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Let's just get that done.
Thank you.
There you go.
That's it.
Speaking of schools, by the way, Alicia just sent us a text saying the North Dakota School Board Association has sent out an email to all board members stating to recommend a no vote on this.
Of course they, right. Of course they have. Because the, who was it that sent the recommendation?
Alicia.
No. But
which, North Dakota which, School
North
Board.
North Dakota School Board Association.
North Dakota School Board Association. Who should all be fired? All those people should be recalled.
Mm-hmm.
This is an outrage. The damage that's being done to these children. Here's the thing. Hey, folks, listen. If anybody from the School Board Association is listening, I just want you to know that you are personally liable if children receive harm from being forced to wear masks in school, and you're the ones that impose that on them, lawyer up, folks, because they're going to come for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it works. In reality, back in the days of Nazi Germany, you could do anything that you wanted to a Jew with no repercussions.
Yep.
Right? You could spit on them, hit them, kick them, stab them, kill them. It didn't matter. You were free to do anything you wanted because they had no rights. And the Nazis and the Nazi soldiers and the Nazi guards and the Gestapo and the SS were free to run roughshod over anybody they wanted to, and fear ruled the day.
Mm-hmm.
And those folks in the uniforms with the little medallions with the swastikas on their arms, they thought that was going to go on forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? In fact, they're going to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to run everything. That's what they thought. That's what everyone thought. Until they didn't.
Right.
Because it all came to an end.
Yeah.
And then the Nuremberg trials began. And those folks who were absolutely impervious to any, they were absolutely invincible. They could do anything they wanted. All of a sudden now they're trying to defend themselves and their actions, which were inexcusable. And the best they could come up with, I was just following orders, which didn't fly. So some of those folks got jail time. Some of them were executed.
Oh, yeah. Hung.
Here's the deal. Right now, it seems like you can't go wrong forcing people to wear a mask. By golly, I'm going to force. I got the power over you, bud, and I'm going to make you wear a mask. Well, it seems that way now. But unless you have a crystal ball saying that it's always going to stay that way, you better be really careful who you force to wear a mask, because people are being injured gravely by these forced masks and mask rules and mask mandates, mask orders. Damage is being done. And there are folks out there who have law degrees who are just waiting by the phone.
Well,
the day of reckoning will come.
Hey, here's what gets me now. Okay, the North Dakota School Board Association has sent out an email to all board members.
Do they even go to the schools? Does the School Board Association, are they even in the schools, or are they just like people in a committee?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. A school board
is
the committee. But for me growing up, even into my college years, some of my teachers were the most influential people in my life. I still know. My son now is out of school for 15 years or 11 years, whatever it is. I know he thinks the same thing. Now, what I want to know is I'd love to talk to some of these teachers nowadays to see what their thoughts are on the whole mask thing, even though I know it'd be like trying to talk to a medical doctor. I think they're fearful for their jobs. But I just wonder if the school board really represents the teachers as much as they should. Or do they not really care? Because you went to the school superintendent. He basically told you he didn't have time to really talk with you.
Yep.
I just wonder what they're really thinking, if these school board members are going, yeah, I want to be on that list, or if they're thinking no, because right now trying to teach these kids is really difficult. You can tell it's not easy on the kids. It's not easy on us. It's not easy on anybody.
Well, and what you just said too, they shouldn't be representing the teachers. They should be representing the kids that are in there.
Precisely.
And the kids should not be 6 feet apart wearing masks. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, and that's exactly the point, Paul. Not only is it ridiculous, but it's harmful. Here's what I don't understand. It's harmful. It's provably harmful. We know that kids have committed suicide over what's going on. That's how harmful it is. We know that many other kids who haven't committed suicide have seriously considered committing suicide because of what's being done to them, because of the forced masking, because of the forced distancing, because of their worlds are basically... Listen, a year isn't long for me. I've had a bunch of them, right?
Sure.
The longer you live, the shorter a year gets.
Mm-hmm.
But for kids who are...
Yeah.
8, 9, 10 years old. 10
our,
years old.
Our future.
A year is a tenth of their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than that if they think about their conscious lifetime, because most kids can't remember, you know, below the age of 2.
Right.
And so what's been happening to them over the past year is unconscionable. It is inexcusable. It is literally a crime against humanity. That's what's been happening.
You know, so really quickly, just because I want to point this out, because this has just really been bothering me, so I just got to get it off my chest. So, you know, I told you that my wife is going to be due in a few weeks. Well, we're only allowed 2 people in the delivery room. So I wanted to go up and tell them, you know, if I show up there with both of my kids, can one of you please tell me which one is the walking cesspool of death that can't come up and which one can?
Yes.
But now, so I mean, if I do bring my son there, who's 2 years old, are they going to make him wear a mask when we get in there? Because he's never worn one yet. And I mean, if he doesn't want to wear it,
he's not going to.
Right. But here's the thing that is just so asinine to me. So I'm only allowed 2 people, so me and my son. And if we want to go, so if I need to go drop him off with the babysitter or something, I can. Or if we want to go get lunch, we can do that. Or if we want to go to the mall and be around 30 people in a room or a restaurant, we can. And then we can come back and we can keep going back and forth, but just the 2 of us. Who comes up with this crap? I mean, I'm just like, do you listen to what you're saying that we have to do? I mean, is it really processing in your head that just 2 of us, but we can come and go willy-nilly? I mean, what is the point?
I asinine is the best word I can think of.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, maybe we need a bill to pass both houses in Bismarck that says anyone that makes a rule regarding COVID has got to put their name on it. So we know who it is that made that rule. So let me ask you this. So you said, so what is the rule when your wife gives birth that only two people at a time?
No, only two.
The same two people.
So you can't. So I couldn't even go down and get my daughter and then bring her up and then alternate with my son. Like, no, they can hang out in the lobby together, but only one can come up.
I see. So in other words, yeah. So you get to pick the two who the chosen ones are.
Yeah.
But then you can go hang out and get all the viruses, all the deadly viruses from these other people. What if you do? Yeah. What if you do pick the wrong? What if you pick the walking cesspool of death?
Yeah.
To go up.
Oh, and.
Except the babies don't get COVID, but that's irrelevant.
Yeah, well, unless we get tested positive for COVID, then we can't leave.
Then you can't leave.
Yeah.
Oh, then you have to stay.
Then you have to stay there.
And infect the people.
The other thing I was thinking, too, is that, you know, when my wife goes into labor, she's probably going to have to be breathing really heavily. So are they going to make her wear a mask?
They better not make her wear a mask.
I mean, they don't inhibit your breathing at all. I mean, that's what they keep saying. I mean, you can go sprinting or running in them, and
I can't.
So, I mean, you can wear them when in labor, right?
You know, I would. You know, oxygen flow to the baby is so critical that if they,
but it, is, I, it doesn't reduce oxygen.
Medical malpractice. Yeah, I just saw a. When are the lawsuits going to start? I'm not kidding when I say this. And this might sound bad. Maybe this will make me sound bad. I actually considered for a short period of time going into law when I was a student at UND. I got my degree in industrial technology, but I thought about law because I took some constitutional law classes and I really enjoyed them. And I thought, man, you know, I could do this. I talked with a friend of mine who was in the law school at the time as a student, And he said, yeah, David, you'd make a great lawyer. You'd first have to flush all your morals and ethics down the toilet. But once you do that, you'd be a great lawyer. Okay, so I don't say that to offend any attorneys who may be listening. That's just what he said to me at the time. So I said, maybe not.
You know, I just thought of something, too. Sorry, I'm just heated right now.
Keep her going, man.
So now when my wife does have the child, so do I have to tell my son he has to leave because now we have three family members in the room?
Yeah, exactly. Right. No, it's sheer stupidity beyond belief. It is beyond belief. There's no common sense anymore that's employed by any of these people. Everybody runs on fear. It's all fear-based. All COVID is all fear-based. Mm.
Are you saying it's not a real disease?
Not at all. Of course it's a real disease. Just like influenza is a real disease. Just like diarrheal disease is a real disease. Just like gastrointestinal disease. I mean, there are lots of real diseases. Heart disease is a real disease. But all those things that I just mentioned, cancer is a real disease. All those things that I just mentioned, they dwarf COVID-19
yeah.
as a cause of death. By comparison, COVID-19 is dwarfed by those other things. Heart attack, stroke, and cancer are the three leading causes of death
right.
in the United States and have been for decades. And they will continue to be. And COVID-19 is not even a blip on that on that radar.
Mm-hmm. I want to just reach out here or a couple of texts. John says, I feel for you, Paul. This is so sad. I can't imagine as a father having to deal with this, bringing another child into the world. Alicia says, I would do a home birth. So much ridiculous rules. Shannon, my son just turned one, so born at the beginning of this. At that time, we could only have one support person. My daughter didn't get to meet her brother till we were home. Kyle says, I'm with you on this one, Paul. My sister and my brother are due for a baby, one in May, one in November, during this COVID, so I'm on you with this one. And again, thank you to all the people that are watching our show today. David, you bring out the best in them.
Well, you know what? A lot of people care about this issue because it's literally the freedom of American citizens on the line with this issue. By the way, John, thank you for reading that, because I want to correct something that I said last week when I was here. And Paul, I need to make sure that you hear this, because you had talked about how your wife is giving birth at the hospital. And I said, well, why not find a doula and do a home birth? And you mentioned that you don't have a NICU at your house. And I said, well, if she's not going to be delivering prematurely, you don't have to worry about it. And boy, did I get scolded by medical professionals who I know and trust and love. She said, NICU isn't just for people that are born prematurely. There are all kinds of other problems that can happen with a childbirth that they need a NICU for. And I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, they do like jaundice and stuff. And
you're right. So she said, that was bad. You should not have said that. So I take it back. I'm sorry. Yes, obviously, there are other conditions that...
Yeah, I was going to mention that during the show, but I just didn't think it was really relevant.
I wish you had, because that would have saved me from getting scolded by this nurse practitioner.
By the way, added to that, saying, my godson was just born 2 days ago, and literally only two up there at Altru, and I have to wait till he comes home to meet him. It's pathetic. Yeah.
Yeah, that, by the way, the NICU, those people are awesome up
there. They are.
My daughter was in there for 2 weeks when she was born, because there was some type of infection or something, and then she had jaundice. But the NICU people thought it was so great that she was in there because she was a normal size baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because they're so used to dealing with the
premature.
Back in my radio days, we used to do the Children's Miracle Network, and for Sanford in Fargo, and the Children's Miracle Network and their new hospital, the NICU unit up there is incredible. They used to bring us diapers from kids in the NICU, and I'm not kidding you, they are so small that you would think, my gosh, this thing wouldn't fit a baby squirrel, but that's what they use for babies. So yeah, we believe me, we're not knocking NICUs.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Okay, and just on that point too, just like what I was pointing out with this, the second part of this bill and the school board association, just like all of the doctors and nurses and everybody at Altru, they're all great. I mean, when you're there, they're great. But it's the people that are on these boards and these that are coming up with these rules.
Right.
Those are the people that need to get a spanking.
Yeah, for sure. And there are a lot of people who are making statements that they know nothing about. So the first day I was on this show, when was that? October 2020.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Somebody says, "Who is this guy? What's he?" And I was right up front, right? I said, "I'm not a scientist. I don't have a PhD in any science. I've got a science degree from UND, but it's not a PhD. I'm not a medical doctor. So who am I to talk about these things?" Well, I'm educated because I've spent a lot of time researching this topic, and I've got a lot of really smart people on our board at Midwest Public Health Coalition. We've got really great advisors who are medical doctors and PhDs and researchers, and they know their stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't get away with saying anything wrong or I get in trouble, like I just did when I made the comment about, if he's not born prematurely, what do you need a NICU for? You know, I can't get away with that stuff because I got people that are going to hold me to, to the standard of always telling the truth. And so in that case, I don't know. I was thinking,
well, you don't have to have a PhD to be smart.
Correct.
I think I know where that was directed.
You just got to be married to one.
That's good. So here's the thing. This stuff is not rocket science. I mean, it's really not. Masks work or they don't. Is there a way to tie it, to tell whether or not they work? Yeah, there is. It's called randomized controlled trials with verification. Have they ever done randomized controlled trials with verification? Yes, they have. What is every single RCT, randomized controlled trials, with verification, what have they all demonstrated? That cloth masks, medical masks, N95 masks cannot stop respiratory viruses. Mm-hmm. There's not a single RCT with verification, that demonstrates that they work at all. There's none. Mm-hmm. There are none. I heard testimony from doctors about HB 1323. And by the way, I want to make this point before we go any further. If you are listening to this show live and you have not written in to the senators, if you think that it would be good for this bill to pass that says a state or local elected official, the state or political subdivision of the state, may not mandate an individual in this state to use a face mask, face shield, or other face covering, and that this subsection 1, the one I just read, prohibits making the use of a face mask, shield, or covering a condition for entry, education, employment, or services, then you want to write your senator right now. In fact, write all the senators.
Yep, you don't have much
time.
Right
now. Right now. Email them right now. If you need their email address, I think we have that. Wait, Celicia, if you're still listening, can you please send, can they get it from you?
I don't have their emails with us.
No, but she's got a list.
Well, she comments it in here, it'll pop up too on the comments.
It'll pop up. Okay, so watch the comments. But
then when we repost it, we can put that link in the reposts of this show.
Perfect, thank you. So if anybody's listening and has the list of all the emails for the senators in North Dakota, because they are voting right after lunch on HB 1323. They're voting right after lunch. We had a big rally. We had the press said there were about 100 people there. No, there are about 350 people there. I know because I was there and I saw all the people there. I didn't count them all. I was speaking, but and listening to the speakers. It's really, really important. This subsection 1, which says a local elected official, the state or political subdivision of the state may not mandate. So that's talking about these elected officials. They're talking about government entities, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the public schools cannot mandate that the children wear masks right. anymore. That in and of itself is enough to make me vote for this bill.
Local grocery store monopolies wouldn't be able to do that either, would they, or would they not, because it's their business?
The bill does not actually address private
Elected officials.
Just elected officials, okay. right. It should. I think it should address those folks, because they're breaking the law, too, by doing that. Local grocery store monopolies are breaking the law. They're breaking their HIPAA violations and their ADA violations. Mm-hmm. So that's a different issue. But right now, we're focused on how do we protect the children from these devastating consequences that they're experiencing right now.
Yeah.
We don't have to wait for a year or 2 years to see what happens. They're experiencing devastating consequences.
All of them?
No, not all of them. But how many kids' lives do you want to destroy?
Yeah, right.
Before it
right.
becomes important.
You know, I wanted
is
to.
Is 3 enough? Is 10 enough? Is
I wanted to comment.
50, 30, 100?
And I wanted to comment on. And I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but Jill made a good comment. And if you think about it, I mean, they're trying to prevent all these COVID deaths by making people wear masks and everything. And we were talking about, you know, the hospital. But she says, you know, abortion is legal. So yeah. if you're okay with just offing babies, then what the hell do you care if somebody's wearing a mask to just
it defies description the insanity that we're witnessing right now as a society. Mm-hmm. It really does. It's to the point that you can't make this stuff up even on your worst day. I mean, it's incomprehensible to me that intelligent people, and a lot of them are not intelligent, that a lot of them don't even know how to think. The people that are making decisions, a lot of them, I'm sorry, but a lot of them just don't know how to think clearly. I've got a video, I was going to send it to you, but it's got some, got a couple F-bombs in it. So you'd have to bleep those out. I'm sure Katie could do that. Maybe I'll bring that next week. There are two people in the, do we have the list?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's a way we could put it on the screen.
Oh.
We've got a list of all of them and their websites.
It's in the chat, so anybody that's watching this can see it.
Yeah, okay.
And grab it, and can you copy and paste that into an email from the chat.
Okay. And they convene at 12:30, so try to get those emails in as soon as you possibly can.
It is so important. The only reason, listen, this I'm going to go back to what I was saying in a second, but the only reason that it passed the House was because of the number of emails that they got saying, vote yes on HB 1323. 1323, 1323, mm-hmm. House Bill 1323. The only reason it passed the House is because they heard from enough North Dakota citizens who said, please vote yes. You've got to vote yes. You better vote yes. If you don't vote yes, I'm not voting for you.
And that's what your legislator and your senators, that's what they should be doing. They represent the people. What your people want in your district is what you do.
That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
That is their job. So, what was I saying right before all that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm at a loss here. I'm just still, my brain is still just trying to cycle how people are thinking that all this is.
I think that's what I was saying, that people don't know how to think. So there's this video that I was going to bring in here or send to you. There's a woman who's a delivery person who's got some boxes of stuff that she's delivering in an elevator, along with someone who's a college age young woman who was literally having a meltdown in the elevator because she wants to get off the elevator. She can barely maintain 6 foot distance in the elevator. They're both wearing masks. And she wants the delivery person who's standing next to the elevator door to go out of the elevator so that she can leave. So if she goes out the door, she's going to get closer than 6 feet.
Oh boy, for about 2 seconds.
I'm not kidding you. This woman has a total emotional breakdown in the elevator. She starts screaming and crying and F-bombing. And she actually starts to pound on the wall of the elevator because this other woman won't leave so she can maintain it. She believes, in other words, COVID is like radiation. It's like if we're all radioactive with COVID, and if you get closer than 6 feet, I'm going to get it. Because
mm-hmm.
everybody that gets closer than 6 feet to me has it. And will make me sick, and then I will die. It would be comical if it was an act, but it's not an act.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a real if deal. I would have been on the elevator, I would have said, "That's what the stairs are for." Biatch.
Sorry, really quick before you do the ad, Jeannie made a really, really good point. So
she does that.
Yeah. So if you open up your browsers to the Senate floor at 12:30. So they'll know that you're watching. So it sounds like this is going to be streamed live.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, my suggestion to everybody is comment, 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 mm-hmm. comment, and just keep, because the more you comment, the more that stream gets pushed. Mm. And not only that, but they got to see that. And it's going to be in a recorded bank. So you're going to see all of those people commenting.
Absolutely. Yes. Vote yes on HB 1323. You want to throw in a little different wording there? Say vote green on HB 1323.
There you go.
Sure. They vote
for it. Oh, not only that, but then we could probably get a bunch of the left people in there to vote for it too, because they'll think it's a green New Deal.
Yeah. They're not very smart, are they? David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition. We are graced to have him back in the studio again today. I want to talk a little bit about executive properties. Well, we've talked a lot about them today, but if you're looking for a remodel or something new done to your house that you've been putting on long enough, get a hold of Executive Properties. Now, I ran into this problem last fall. Got a hold of a contractor. The first couple never even got back to me. Finally got a hold of another one, told me one thing, and it never worked out. Here's the deal with Executive Properties, all right? They're going to call you back. A lot of people say, I've contacted these contractors, I never hear from them. Executive Properties will call you back no matter what. Now, even if they don't do that type of work, they're going to refer you to somebody that does. Now, Barry Romo, the guy that's got like 35 years of experience, this guy is incredible. He's going to come in, he's going to bid, he's going to prep, he's going to do the job start to finish. No middleman, just Executive Properties. And here's another thing. Spring is basically here. This is when all the contractors are very busy. So if you want to get some work done with Executive Properties, get a hold of them. They've got senior and referral discounts. They're willing to work with any budget. Check out their reviews on Facebook and Google. You can check out some of their pictures of the work they've done on their Facebook page and on their website, executiveproperties.org, or call them at 701-330-1273. Executive Properties, they're your one-stop company that can do it all for you. All right, back with David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition. He's been out in Bismarck for the better part of the week. And I really wanted to ask you, how did the rally go? Was it a good one? Was it a bad one? Was there enough people there to make it worthwhile?
The rally was great. The people that were there estimated between 250 and 350 people showed up. I think it was probably closer to 300, 350. Like I said, I didn't count, although I did shoot some video of the crowd on my phone. And let's see here. It'd be great if I could send this to you, right? There's some footage of the rally.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you getting that footage from? Right? We can pull it up on screen.
Can you?
Yeah.
It's on my phone. It's
did you just record it?
I just recorded it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha. No, yeah. Then we can't do it.
Well, try holding it behind you with that camera there once and see
that won't work.
No, okay.
It'll look funky.
All right. So anyway, it was a great rally. We had some great speakers and Colette Kramer spoke right before me and she was fantastic. She issued the clarion call to action. She said, look, this is, here's the thing. America has been so solid for so long.
Mm-hmm.
We have come to take our freedoms for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that somebody like Katie or even Paul doesn't really know what it would be like to live in a country that doesn't have the freedoms that we literally take for granted.
Sure.
One of the reasons that there are leftists who are promoting all kinds of goofy, ridiculous stuff in America is because they've never lived any place other than America.
Mm-hmm.
They literally think that the rest of the world is like us.
No, it's not.
It's radically different from us. Mm-hmm. I have been around the world, and it is radically different from us. I used to hear about these people that, when I got back to America, I kissed the ground because I thought, I'm back to freedom. And I thought, oh, come on, that's just so over. No, it's not. I've been to former communist countries. I've seen how people live. The fear that people live in, the kinds of random laws that people,
mm-hmm.
I was driving in a car in Russia I wasn't even the driver. The guy that was driving was Russian. We took a left turn on from one street onto another street, got pulled over by the cops. And I said, what happened? Was it illegal to turn left here? He said, it wasn't yesterday.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You have no rights.
Mm-hmm.
The cops kept us detained for half an hour. For half an hour. Insisted on seeing all of our passports. I gave him my passport. Here's what he did with the passport. He took my passport. He took it in his hand. Leaned up against the car. Just stood there like this. Looking around. Did that for, 5 minutes. He finally does this with my passport.
Take it, they get paid by the hour.
No, they get paid by the power trip.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. All these folks are on big power trips.
Oh, you want to see? I mean, there's all kinds of videos out there of how like during this COVID thing, the policing and stuff in other countries are.
Oh, go to Canada.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, just innocent people just getting, you know, thrown to the ground and, you know, just yeah. for no reason whatsoever.
Well, I know my experiences in Europe. One thing that they have always said to me, the people I had talked to over there, was Second Amendment. They don't have that. You know, no. they don't, they can't own guns, and they wish so much to be able to be like us. But again, this was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and I was over there. Things have changed a little bit.
You know, and it's like you said too, with the, you know, the kids and the education. I mean, if they continue, if they start this when they're young and they continue on with it, when my daughter is 18, 19 years old, they're going to, this is going to be the new normal.
That's right.
Where they're just used to it. They don't know what it was like to have, you know, free thinking and free decision making.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's, I think I read part of this this article about the KGB agent's prophecy. Yuri Bezmenov, former KGB agent, talking about converting America into a communist country, which they've been working on for decades. And they know that it's a decades-long process. But they're happy to take the time and wait. It's going to take 50 years. But they started 30 years ago, right? They started 30 years ago. And he talks about the four steps, right? Demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and then normalization. So demoralization has been going on for the past 30 years, getting America demoralized, which we are right now. The division amongst Americans against other Americans is unprecedented. There's more division in America right now than there was just before the Civil War, even during the Civil War. And divide and conquer, it works. It works. So they've been dividing us and demoralizing us. He says here that he says Marxism, Leninism, I'll just read this briefly again. Marxism, Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by basic values of Americanism and American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. And by the way, he said this in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it is done by Americans to Americans thanks to a lack of moral standards. A lack of moral standards. I just heard, by the way, talking about a lack of moral standards, that Governor Nuisance from California.
Yep, yep.
Who, by the way, is on his way to a recall because they've gathered the 2 million signatures necessary to recall him.
Mm-hmm.
So that process is already but he just that's in process right now. Apparently, he just signed an executive order saying that in the state penal system, the correctional system of California, whatever, I don't know what it's called, that all the correctional officers, the people that are working in the prisons, must ask each prisoner which pronoun they prefer to be addressed by.
Oh, my gosh.
And they must always use that pronoun when addressing the prisoners, whichever one they said. How many pronouns are there? There've got to be an infinite number, right? Because a person can choose.
So okay, well, I'm going to have to hit up the swear jar here too, because when you're in prison, everybody is shitbird.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your name.
There's a reason
you're
there.
That's your gender. That's your name. That's who you are. That's because that's where you are. That's where you're living now. That's, you have no identity.
So you may be surprised to hear that hundreds of male inmates have now decided that they're actually female. They're actually female. And guess what they've made requests to do? To transfer to the female division of the prison.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah, maybe okay. Want to pull your wallet out again.
Here's a dollar. And just so people know, shit is 10 cents.
Okay.
So I'm putting a dollar in here because it's going to get ugly.
So
thanks for the donation.
So here in North Dakota, we still have people that know how to use common sense, right? That know how to think. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that a whole lot of them are in the North Dakota State Senate. Because here's what it says. The final stage, he says it's the same pattern everywhere. Third stage instigates a crisis. Crisis. Can anybody say crisis? Can anybody say censorship? Crisis followed by censorship. What are we experiencing right now?
GFBS.
Yeah. Where there is no censorship. But GFBS is censored by
the good people at YouTube who know what's better for you than you
do. Yeah, yeah. Right.
They know what's best for you. They know what you can and cannot see, what you should and should not hear.
Mm-hmm.
And they will stop you from hearing or seeing anything that they don't think is good for you. What's that called again? There's a word for that. It also starts with a C.
Mm-hmm. Communism.
Oh, that was it. Yes, thank you.
There you go.
I forget that word.
Yep.
It says the same everywhere. This is what happened in... the crisis part lasts usually 2 to 6 months. That's the stage when the leftists or idealists or useful idiots are no longer needed because they'll be disillusioned, become obstacles. They're going to be eliminated, exiled, imprisoned. He says that's the same pattern everywhere. These three steps culminate in the fourth and final step, stage of normalization, where the populace begins to accept and assimilate communism. What you just said, John.
Yeah.
This final stage can take up to 20 years to complete. Today, 35 years after the interview, Bezmenev's chilling prophecy still sounds so relevant. Yeah, because it is. Because it is. So 20 years from now, if we don't stop this, Katie's children will grow up in a fully communist country called the United States of America, spelled with a K.
Yeah, with a K. Mm-hmm.
But we can do something. So the good news is, how this all ends up is entirely up to us.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is how this ends up is entirely up to us.
Yes.
There was a really smart French guy. I don't speak French, even though I took it for a couple of years, at least a year, who said this. He said the only thing necessary, Edmund Burke was his name. He said the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Today, the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to social distance, wear a mask, and get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And evil will prevail.
Yeah. Paul, get ready with the swear jar.
Uh-oh.
Just got a text from Heather saying, we have an employee that used to work in a female prison in Missouri. They had a guy in the prison that transitioned while he was on a major crime spree, so he'd be housed in the women's prison rather than the male prison. And here's the part that's probably going to get you. The state had to pay for the hormones, too.
Mother!
Unbelievable. I thought I'd throw that in there.
So that's not the state, that's the taxpayers, by the way. Let's just keep things clear.
Yep, that is. David, I know you had a little conversation with North Dakota Republican Senator Judy Lee. You were talking about that before we went on. How did that go?
Is she a Republican?
I believe she is, yeah, which kind of surprised me.
Can we really verify that? Because I can't believe that she's a Republican. I find that really difficult to believe. But I will tell you, I'll answer that the question. Yes, I did. Actually, it wasn't so much of a conversation. Well, it was all body language. I gave her, I don't know what happened to my cards. Did I give you some of those cards?
Oh, yeah, they're right over here on the windowsill.
The one that that says if masks worked.
Got one right here, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I got it. Perfect. Thank you. I said I gave her. I went in after the committee hearing was over, and by the way, I've got to say this: I listened to the people who gave testimony to the committee. It was a committee of 7. They voted 6-1, do not pass. So only one person in the committee voted that HB 1323 should pass. The rest voted do not pass. And I'm going to talk about the testimonies that I heard. But anyway, at the end, when it was over, because I chose not to testify because I wanted Dr. Gullicks to have the most time possible. And the other ladies who had flown in from Michigan, 2 industrial hygienists, professional, top of their game industrial hygienists. They're considered the professionals, the experts in the country on industrial hygiene and personal protective equipment. Tammy Clark, and I believe the other lady was Megan Kelly, I think. Afterwards, I went in and I spoke with the chairman. I said, would it be okay? I didn't give testimony. Can I give my little mini testimony on this card, which says if masks stop COVID, this wouldn't happen. It's got a graph showing this huge spike a couple of months after the Minnesota mask mandate went into effect, because these are the stats I had.
Go ahead to Katie, and she can show people.
Yeah, perfect.
Hey, you want to go to Katie's camera?
So there we go. So so this is going to come up on the screen in just a second. There it is. Whoops.
Give it a second to focus.
Mask stop. COVID.
Back it up. There it
yeah,
is.
There we go. Perfect. This wouldn't happen. That's the Minnesota mask mandate. On the other side of the card, I'll read it, Katie. Keep the graph up there. It says, Minnesota Department of Health numbers say it all. Masks don't stop COVID-19. And then it says, yeah, Midwest Public Health Coalition dedicated to doing the research and cutting through the COVID fog to bring you the truth. Okay, I gave this card. I said, could I give these cards to all the senators? And he said, sure, go ahead. So I walked in. Thanks, Katie. That's perfect. So I walked in and I handed one of these cards to everyone, including Judy Lee, Senator Judy Lee. When I handed it to Senator Lee, she looked at the card. She looked up at me as if I had just insulted her granddaughter, and then did this with the card.
Flicked it away.
I thought, and I really was tempted to say, excuse me, Senator, how old are you? I mean, did you really do that in front of a North Dakota citizen? Are you really that rude? I was talking about rude. My senator in District 18 is Scott Meyer.
Scott Meyer, great guy, friend of ours, yep.
Senator Scott Meyer will actually be giving testimony on the floor of the Senate today, supporting, as he should. Thank you very much, Scott. He is supporting HB 1323, endorsing it, asking the other senators to vote for it. And he actually I spoke with him on the phone just before the show, and he got this letter from Health Officer Joel Walls.
Oh, boy.
We know who he is, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Dr. Walls had this to say to Senator Meyer. I oppose the limitations this bill would place. Oh, by the way, he did not say, dear Senator Meyer. He didn't say, dear Mr. Meyer. He didn't say, dear Scott. He didn't even address him.
Mm-hmm.
He just sent this email that said, I oppose. That's a little arrogant.
Well, who's he think he is? On the county commission or what?
That's... I oppose the limitations this bill would place on an important decision maker like a county health officer. I feel bad. I feel this is a bad bill that should not pass. Thank you for considering. Joel Walls, MD.
Yeah. Nice.
That's the letter that he sent to Senator Meyer. Did you hear that? Did you hear that scientific reference the tremendous depth and wealth of medical knowledge that he brought to the question of whether or not masks work and should be imposed on people against their will? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I oppose it because this bill would... I'm going to quote now again. And I think that is how he talks. I've never met him, so I don't... But I think he does talk that. I impose the limitations this bill would place on an important decision maker, like a county health officer. By the way, I agree with Dr. Walls on one thing. Limitations should not be placed on important decision makers. The most important decision makers, Dr. Walls, are the citizens of North Dakota.
The voters, yes.
It's us, Dr. Walls. It's not the health officer. It's not the other. It's not your minions. It's the citizens of North Dakota. We are the most important decision makers because we make decisions about our health. We make decisions about our family's health. We make decisions about our children's health. Not you, sir. That's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your job. Go get another.
And by the way, David, Judy Lee is a Republican, 79 years old. She was born in California.
Do I know?
And also, Jody, thank you. She says, Judy Lee has the lowest Republican ACU rating at 48%. Highest Democrat is at 36%. This is based on 2019 ratings. And also, Tracy, she wants some of these cards, so we'll have a few for you here if you want to get to the studio And we'll give you some more of those.
You know what? I'll tell you, I'll be honest about something. This whole thing brings out the worst in me. I don't believe in making fun of people. I don't like mocking people. But this has got to end because it's destroying children. It is destroying children. I think that Joel Walsh has gotten a taste of power and he likes it. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free. Guess what? This is America. I'm still free to have my own opinion. Can I read Senator Meyer's response?
Yes.
To Dr. Walls. Here's what he writes. Good evening, Dr. Walls. Thank you for the correspondence.
I thought I was just going to say, suck it.
Scott Meyer is a gentleman.
Yes, he is.
Sorry. Continue.
He writes, good evening, Dr. Walls. Thank you for the correspondence regarding HB 1323. The reason many have come out in support of this bill is simply that an important decision maker should be limited in their power. He's referring to an important decision maker like what Dr. Walls was referring to, like a county health officer.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of important. Senator Meyer is not talking about important decision makers like mothers and fathers.
Right, right.
Citizens. So let's just want to keep that in perspective. The reason many have come out in support of this bill is simply that an important decision maker should be limited in their power. As someone who isn't elected, please understand this issue is bigger than yourself since you aren't accountable to constituents.
Ooh.
Perhaps that is good on some fronts, but like the abuse exercised by unelected officials or important decision makers has created a lot of the reasons we see bills just like this.
Yeah.
I'll read that again. Perhaps that is good on some fronts, but the abuse exercised by unelected officials or important decision makers has created a lot of the reasons we see bills just like this.
Yeah.
My question is, how many Grand Forks County residents were fined or ticketed for failure to comply with your mask order? I look forward to your response, and I'm happy to continue the discussion once you can provide the data. Thanks for reaching out, Senator Scott Meyer.
And you know, so, you know,
give me that. Can we get the applause again?
Let's
hit that. Thank you.
And the funny thing is how he ended that. You know, I'd be glad to continue this conversation once you have the correct data. But no, instead you've got these people that flap their lips and they really haven't done the research. I don't think, I don't know if they're being told to tell that, but just because you think you are this almighty powerful doctor guy doesn't mean that we're all going to drink your Kool-Aid.
Right. I love that response because I was kind of like left, 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 and then he just finished
boom, the knockout punch.
Exactly. That was great. It was great. So, and you know, I have the answer. Of how many people have been arrested for failure to comply or fined?
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Nada.
As it should be, because guess what? It seems like law enforcement in the state understands that Governor Walls. Yeah. Dr. Walls does not have the authority to make laws that will be enforced by law enforcement. Mm-hmm. There is no law that you've got to wear a mask. Heaven forbid that should ever happen in this country. I'm not kidding. If that happens in this country, we're done.
Yeah.
We are done.
Mm-hmm.
The insanity of this whole thing, first of all, the people who are at greatest risk of COVID-19 are who? Who's the, what population group, what people group is at greatest risk from COVID-19? We know this because we have the data now.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for a year. Who's at greatest risk? Katie
the
knows.
Children.
I'm talking about the virus itself, not the mitigation efforts. Who's the greatest risk, Katie?
Well, older.
Older, yep.
Older people.
Older people with?
I mean, health conditions.
Yeah, comorbidities, right? Yep. Comorbidities being defined as two or more chronic diseases, right? That's a comorbidity.
Mm-hmm.
Two or more, meaning more than one, or with, two or more, from the Latin cum, meaning with one or more morbidity. This is a chronic disease, a disease you don't just take a pill and it goes away. Two or more chronic conditions who are also elderly. And why would that put them at greater risk? Let's just use common sense for a minute. Why would that put them at greater risk? Because those comorbidities have a negative impact on their immune system. What is it that prevents you from getting a virus? Your immune system. Mm-hmm. What is it that makes you well after you get a virus? Your immune system.
I'm just curious. Do you think that these people are also the ones that are more susceptible to, say, the flu?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Hello. Right. So, but here's the deal. Even that group, that group that's at greatest risk, the elderly with comorbidities, do you know how many of them, if they contract COVID-19, if they get sick from COVID-19, they get infected, they get sick from COVID-19, do you know what the recovery rate is for that particular group? According to the statistics that we now have, you know what the recovery rate is?
It's got to be really high.
Let's do this one first. The recovery rate, if they get no medical treatment,
mm-hmm.
they get no treatment. You know what the recovery rate is for those folks? 95%.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say like 70.
95% without treatment, without therapeutic intervention. With therapeutic intervention, it becomes dramatically higher than 95%.
Mm-hmm.
And we have.
And with the vaccine, it's probably like 95.1.
According to VAERS, which has only 1 to 10% at max, 10% reporting for vaccine injured people using this COVID vaccine. According to VAERS, in 3 months, there have been as many deaths from the vaccine as there have been in 9 months of COVID, using the CDC's numbers.
Well, so Heather, she just made a comment, and it made me think of something that I'd never thought of before, but she just said she read an article the other day that most people who did die of COVID-19 were obese, which, I would say most people die of stuff because they're obese.
Right.
But if you look at the numbers and you try to say that America is like not doing as well as these other countries, well, maybe that's because America has the majority of obese people in it.
We do. You go to Europe, it's that's a lot sure. different over there. It's, everybody obesity in France is, wears obesity skinny
is
jeans.
A major
it's
problem a major in, problem. In America.
A major problem here. And you know why? Because they put sugar in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, American Crystal. Sorry. They put sugar in everything. This could be a whole other show. There was a study that was done. There's a gentleman, I can't remember his name, who was paid by all these food companies that make processed foods. He's developed what he calls.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I think it's called the ecstasy point, because they found out that you can add sugar to almost any food, and people will eat it and they'll think it tastes better. They'll want more of it. They'll eat more of it. As you increase the amount of sugar, that increases people's desire for that food, and they think that it tastes better. Once you hit a certain point, it stops working and it goes the other direction. People think it's gross. But right before you hit that point is where the sugar has the maximum impact on the person's desire to eat more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he calls the ecstasy point. So all these companies, he got rich finding the ecstasy point in all these different foods for all these different food manufacturers that make processed foods. And he sold them the information. So they put that much sugar in their food. So it's a scientifically determined amount of sugar that they put in the food to make you eat more of it. Here's the problem. A lot of these foods were fattening already, but you add that much sugar to them and they become super fattening. Why do you think we have a fat problem in America? Hello? That's probably why. In fact, if you look at people that are obese, chances are that they have a diet that's extremely high in processed foods. You look at people that are not obese and they probably have diets that are more eating natural food.
Mm-hmm. Well, and my point to that too was that, you know, with all these people that are so in favor of the, you know, these mandates and everything, this is like their little claim to fame of like, I'm trying to word this as best as I can. It's like somebody that exercises, but instead of actually exercising, they just say walk on a treadmill for 10 minutes in front of the TV watching a soap opera, as opposed to actually going like doing work and sweating. Yeah. Well, if you're sitting there and you're so worried about people wearing masks and not wearing masks, but you don't care that you are 80, 90 pounds overweight.
Right.
Maybe you should just take a look in the mirror and say, maybe I should just focus on me and stop worrying about other people for once.
So, yeah, we all have friends who, I have friends who are obese. I don't judge them. I don't, you know, think that they're lesser people. I feel badly for them because obesity is a major cause. I mean, it exacerbates just about every health problem that there is.
Yeah.
The more overweight you are, the harder time your body's going to have recovering from anything. So it's a major problem. I saw a statistic, and I'll just say this because I don't remember exactly what the numbers are, but I believe that it said by the year 2030, if we continue on our current course, over 60% of the population in America will be clinically obese.
I figured we were already over that.
I think we are in North Dakota.
Well, the big thing is, Bill.
Have you ever been to Walmart?
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. That was a bad joke.
Bill 1323, Senate floor opens here in about 9 minutes. Wow. Here's what you need to do. Open up your browser. Go to video.legis.nd.gov.
Beautiful.
Figure there that out.
Pull it up.
There it is. Be working with your... What am I doing here?
Oh, go to display.
Pull it up. It's a state. It's its own by the public.
Yeah. So, we just gotta switch.
Pull it up. Whoops.
Yep. Double click.
We're experiencing temporary technical difficulties.
Just give it 1 second. Try two. One. There you go.
There we go.
There it is.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you what. These folks at GFBS know their stuff. Here we go. Yeah. So. So we'll be able to go to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can check out all the comments on the show today. Just go to your phone. You'll be able to find out more, too.
But please do write to your senator. Go to the list. Go to the list that somebody put up. Was that Salisha that sent that in? And just grab the whole list. Say, please vote yes on HB 1323 or whatever it is that we want to say. Urge them to vote yes on this bill. Tell them masks don't work. Tell them you're sick of wearing masks. Tell them that your kids are having problems. Whatever you tell them the truth. But ask them to vote yes on 1323. The people that are against this bill, I didn't get to talk about it. Two experts, two industrial hygienists, Tammy Clark and Kristen, I can't remember Kristen's last name. I'm sorry. They're the experts. They are the ones who train doctors and nurses and medical experts on the proper use of PPE. They come right out and say, hey, doctors know a ton. They know the human body inside and out. They know how to treat disease. They know how to treat infections. They know how to treat injuries. They're really smart with that stuff. But Tammy made it really clear. She said, when they start talking about PPE, doctors are out of their lane.
Yeah.
Yep. They have no training in that. They don't have expertise in that. They don't have knowledge about that. The doctors have to learn from someone like Tammy Clark or Kristen, who both flew in from Michigan to give testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the ones who go into hospitals, and when there's an outbreak of something, when there's some virus that's coming, some bacteria, they're the ones that train the doctors and nurses what works and what doesn't work, how to don and doff a mask, if a mask would work in that particular situation. You know, one of the things that she said is when you put a mask on, you hold it by the ear loops. You cannot touch any part of the mask other than the ear loops when you put it on. You've got to be fit tested to make sure that the mask works. She said, because all these studies that I've heard people quoting, like the Mayo Clinic, did this, we've done a study and it proves the masks work. Guess what they used for the study? Mannequins.
Yeah, exactly. Who probably weren't wearing glasses either.
Guess who doesn't get COVID-19? Mannequins.
Yeah.
Guess what else? Mannequins aren't people. Every single human face is different. And one of the things that they pointed out, not only are our faces different, but our bodies are different. So they said that they might have a Kimberly Clark mask that works for one person, but it doesn't work for another person. It looks just like them.
Mm-hmm.
For them, they need a 3M mask, or they need a mask made by another manufacturer. They have all these different things that they have to go through. Some people get fit tested for a mask in an industrial setting or a healthcare setting, and they find out that none of the masks will work for them. So those folks can't be in that setting anymore.
Right.
Because these folks are experts. Now, for the idea that a person can take a piece of t-shirt material, put a couple of ear loops on, and and that's going to stop anything, it's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And so these two ladies were there to educate the senators and anybody else who would listen. And they basically came right out and said, these masks cannot stop respiratory viruses. Period. Period.
Yeah.
Period. Well, there's not, well, it'll reduce it by 5%. No. By 2%. No. By no percent. It won't stop transmission or infection from COVID-19 or any other respiratory
virus. Well, there we go. Our YouTube is probably going to be continued, but you know what? That's okay. we'll talk. Are you going to come back next week if you can?
I'll be happy to come back next. Can I have my regular time slot?
We could probably do that, David.
Let's do that. Let's say Tuesday at 11.
All right.
Very good.
Hey, always been fun. I love talking to you.
Thank you, John.
And thanks to all the people that are tuning in today. Again, bill number 1323, it's going to be up for vote here in a matter of minutes.
Vote yes.
Open up that browser, vote yes. Let's just make this world back to normal as fast as we can. Again, thank you, David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition, for joining us on the show today. And special thanks going out to Brabita's Promotions. You know, if you're looking to boost your brand, Brabita's Promotions will make you stand out from the crowd. Yeah, Brabita's, here's what they're going to do. They're going to consult with you at no cost. They'll help you find the perfect swag for your business. Whether you're looking for logoed apparel, maybe you want hats, promotional products, trade show displays, or even awards, Brabita's is the region's top provider for free online stores. In fact, they are the perfect option for your company, apparel ordering, team sportswear, or any type of organization wanting to dress their members with logoed apparel. We use Brabita's Promotions all the time. They've got locations in Grand Forks, Fargo, Bismarck, and Minot. Shop PrabitasPromo.com or call 1-866-PRO-SWAG. Boost your brand, stand out from the crowd with Prabita's Promotions. And don't forget, we're now on Amazon Music. Tell your smart speaker to play GFPS Podcast and it'll do it. Dirty Thursday tomorrow. We've got NOSA Outlaw Sprint Car driver Travis Strandell. He'll sit down with the Bullring Boys. As usual, it's going to be an awesome day. And make sure you like, share, tag, and follow us, okay? We all know Grand Forks is a great place. Grand Forks' best source is giving it its identity again.